sing holy. Holy, holy, Father, you are holy. There is no one else like you. Faithful, faithful, Father, you are faithful.
Open up the heavens, we wanna see it. Open up the
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory, Jesus. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory. Jehovah God abides here. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. On holy ground, in His presence there is joy beyond all measure. And at His feet, peace of mind can still be found. If you have a need, hey, I know He has the answer. Just reach out and claim it. Oh, you are standing on holy ground. We are standing. Yeah.
On holy ground. Oh, we're standing on holy ground.
You are faithful and true. Oh. But if I do hear from God, there is a result that will take place that will glorify His name, but will edify the people. Is there anybody here tonight, you need a result in a situation and you want God to give you that answer? Just go ahead and raise your hand. I need a result in a situation. I need results. That scripture that we read this morning, the word of wisdom, is when God gives you a direction, not so that you can maintain, not so that you can just walk in the fog, but there is a word from God that will give you an ability to split open everything the enemy has put in front of you, your marriage, your family, your ministry, the church. Come on, somebody. We need to get back to the place where we say, I'm not going to move another inch until I've heard from God. Now, does anybody here have the ability to hear from God? I wouldn't want to go to war with that number right there. How many have the ability to hear God? It's a little bit better. If you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, if Christ lives within you, you have the ability to hear from God. Hey. I hear people say, I don't want to sound like a freak. You sound like a freak if you don't. The God you serve is a totem pole. If your God doesn't speak, He's not alive. But the proof that He's alive is I hear God speak. He speaks through His word. He speaks through the ministry. He speaks through song. He speaks to my spirit. I love that. We wait on the Lord so that we get an answer. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're working too hard. Go ahead, just tell him, you're working too hard. You're working too hard. You're working too hard. You work like somebody who doesn't hear from God. But I want to be those people that hear from God and says, thus says the Lord. And doors begin to open. Mountains begin to move. If you want that, just lift your voice to the Lord and tell Him tonight, Lord, I'm hungry. I want to hear from You. I don't want to move until I hear from You. I won't make an action until I know what You want me to do. Lord, I pray that You'll speak to the people that are in this building tonight. Before they leave these doors, it may not be everything, but tell them something. Come on, somebody say that with me. It may not be everything, but I want to hear something. And Lord, take that something and turn it into more and more until the light completely comes on, the darkness goes away, and there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you believe it, give God a hand clap of praise and thank God that He's going to do it for everybody here tonight. Amen. Help me and just welcome. I know you did a little bit, but just welcome some folks. Say, I'm happy that you're here. If you would, please. Everybody's hospitality in this church. I'm happy that you're here. And then you can be seated. Welcome to you that are online, wherever the camera is. We're glad that you joined us. Welcome to Charleston Church Sunday night worship experience. If the ushers would come, and we're going to worship the Lord in our giving tonight. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, choir. Thank you, singers. We appreciate your ministry to us here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good to us? The Lord is so good to us. I'm going to point my finger at you. God is so good to you. Have you thought about that today? God is so good to us. Are there any fathers here that would say, God has been so good to me? Are there any mothers that would confess, God's been so good to me? Any children would say, God's given me perfect parents. I'm so... Your mom's right there, dude. Careful. All right. God bless you tonight as you give, as we give us unto the Lord. We're sowing. I recently heard about you know, whenever you hear a preacher say that, you know a joke's coming. This isn't a joke, so I know what that sounds like. But a man was a preacher, talking to a farmer. And he said to the farmer, if you had two houses and God wanted you to give one away, would you? He said, yes. He said, if you had two trucks and God asked you to give one away, would you give it away? He said, yes. He said, if you had two cows, would you give one away? He said, no. The man asked why. He says, because I have two cows. It's awful easy to say we'll give something away until we've got it to give away. How many of you ever said that? You've seen a need and you say, man, if I had $1 million. How many of you ever said that? If I had $1 million, I'd give it to that. Well, let's prove it by giving $10 tonight. If you can't give 10, you won't give $1 million. All right, I'm preaching the truth now. It's getting quiet. You're afraid somebody's going to ask you for your cow. I'm not asking you for your cow, Jim. Keep both cows. I'm just saying God won't ask you to give what you don't have to give. But once you obey Him and give what He's asked for, God will respond to that appropriately. And we're thankful that every gift we give is a seed sown in the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us. We are blessed. We know the way to experience the blessing is, one, gratitude. We give with gratitude in our hearts tonight. We're so grateful, joyful, Lord, that we can give. Blessed that we can give. Lord, don't ever let us get to the place where we're not able to give. Lord, let us be givers. And we appreciate the opportunity. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Hey, Nate, come on up here and tell the people about how God used you there in India. He never gets a warning from me, but I don't think he needs it. He's instant. He's instant hot water. That's Nate Pimentel. And there are people that are visiting here tonight. And those of you that come regularly, we thank God for you. But you have to realize there are people that are not here every Sunday. So they don't know everything that goes on. So sometimes even during the announcements, I'll participate. Which I did not participate this morning because I thought she did a fantastic job. But I want Mary Ann and the children to stand. Lily and Matthew. If you're new or this is the first time you're here, these are some of the sweetest people on God's planet. And they're, thank you. You can be seated. I like your shirt, Matthew. But this is Nate Pimentel, my favorite Portuguese preacher. The only Portuguese preacher I know. But if there's any others like him, I want to get to know him. But God has called them to travel all over the world to preach the gospel of Christ. And we were very involved in the trip to India. And we were able to be a part of that financially, make sure he could get there. And I want you to let Nate and his family know we love them a whole bunch here at Charleston. Get this good report. Amen.
The month of July, I had the opportunity to travel over to India, and I also traveled over to Cuba. And then a month before that, I was in the Netherlands. So I got to, you know, the Lord's opened up plenty of doors for us to walk through. And I could confidently come back and say that in every meeting that we had overseas, we had people give their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. And when we were in Cuba, we had people get saved every single one of our meetings. And I'll tell the story about when I was in India, but I just thought this was so cool because when I got to Cuba, it's not like, you know, I talked to a lot of Canadians. And they said, well, we never have a problem going to Cuba, but an American going to Cuba and a Canadian going to Cuba is not the same thing. As a matter of fact, we're only allowed to go there on a religious worker's visa or if you have family over there. And when you go on a religious worker's visa, they make sure that they have government officials that will attend your meetings because basically what they're looking for is for you to say something wrong so that they can detain you right there and then arrest you and deport you back to your home country, to the U.S. And so when I was in Cuba, they had that. The last two nights of the service, they had government officials show up at our meeting. And you can tell who they were. Sitting in the back over there, everybody else is clapping and singing and jumping up and down. And I'll tell you what, the Cubans, they know how to praise God. But everybody's excited, and the government officials are in the back just sitting down, looking like they've been baptized in lemon juice and, you know, not cracking a smile. And so they warned me. They said, you need to be very careful about what you say. You know, don't speak about politics. Don't talk about their government here. And just stick to preaching Christ. And that's what I did. I stuck to preaching Christ. But so I preached Jesus those last 2 days. And the government officials that actually showed up at the service that were trying to find something wrong with what I was saying so that they could arrest me and send me back home, every single one of them ended up getting saved at the end of the services. And so that was cool. And just to see, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, God has the power to touch anybody's heart. And oftentimes I've noticed it's kind of like those that are atheists when they really try to defend why they believe that there's no God. They always come to the conclusion that there is a God and they place their faith in him. And so that's exactly what happened in Cuba. And so when we went to India, we were just believing for, you know, the same things to happen over in India. And I don't know if any of you have ever been there. But, you know, I'm thankful for the United States of America, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that God has given me to travel over to India the last 3 years and to see people from all different walks of life repent and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. But when we were in India this year, it's, you know, the moment I got there, they had me up and going, and I was traveling. There was a lot of Faith Bible College alumni, that are doing ministry over at over in India, and I connected with some of them. But one of the things that that was awesome while I was in India, and I'll just share this one story, is the last Sunday that I was there, they had 3 different churches for me to go to, and they said, well, you're going to start preaching here at 7 o'clock. At the second service, you're going to start preaching at 9:30, and you have to be done by 10:20. And then the third service starts, I believe, at 10:45, and it's about an hour away. So you're going to get there a little bit late, but just in time for them to give you the microphone and preach. And most of the time, that's what I like, especially if you've heard a lot of the worship that I've heard, you just want to show up at church and preach. And so when I got to the second service at 9:30 ready to preach, I was supposed to be done by 10:20. And they handed me the microphone at 10:06. So I have 14 minutes to preach. The pastor gives me the microphone and says, take your time. And I said, well, thank you for giving me my liberty, but I've got to be somewhere else in about 25 minutes. And so I ended up preaching for about, you know, 17, 18 minutes. About the goodness of the Lord, but it quickly, you know, there's an anointing that comes for soul winning. And in that service, within the first 30 seconds, I could feel the anointing for soul winning come into that building. And so I just preached on Jesus, talked about the love of Jesus, and I was very simple with them. And by the end of that morning, we had over like 30 to 35 people in that one service that gave their lives in faith over to Jesus Christ. And so we've seen, you know, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen many come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And one of the coolest things that happened while I was in India was when you go there and you go to the churches, a lot of the people that attend, a lot of them are believers. They don't bring a lot of unbelievers into the services. And so when I was there the first Sunday, I preached at a church, and it was a more of a modern church, nice, you know, a big church. And the pastor invited me to come back next year. So July 21st and July 22nd, we have dates scheduled to go over to this church in Chennai, India, to preach the gospel. But the cool thing about that is God opened the door for us to preach open-air meetings in Chennai. So instead of being inside a building, we're going to have the opportunity to preach, whether it be under a tent or whether it be in a platform in the middle of an open field. We're going to have the opportunity to preach the gospel out in the open air. And we're believing that 2019 is going to be our greatest trip yet. And we're going to see more souls coming to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I want to thank you, my wife and I, our ministry thanks you from the bottom of our heart, you know, for, you know, financially tying up with us as a church, as a body, and, you know, going with us to India and seeing many souls changed by the power of God and many souls, you know, repenting of sin and receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. And so thank you. We love all of you. And there's so much more that I can say, but, you know, this is Heather's night, not my night. And here you go.
Thank you, buddy. Bless you, Nate. Thank you.
That's our commitment. We made a significant commitment to be a part of that. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather send my money than go. Nate came back. He was yellow. He was whiter than me, if you can believe it, when he came back. Dr. Bell is sick, so I'm glad I didn't go. I'm glad my money did. How many of you feel the same way? You'd rather send your money than go. Well, that's what God called him to do. He called me to be in the woods. He called you to be in the woods, but he called us to be a blessing to them. And you know, reaching people in India is vital. Reaching children in our community is vital. So thank you so much for bringing the backpacks, writing utensils, right? Markers and crayons and pencils. I know I am. I'm doing fantastic, actually. Next week is folders and binders. I don't know what the difference is, but they're up there on the screen. Folders and binders. And then on September the 2nd is our back to school bash. That's a Sunday that pretty much kicks off the rest of the year. And it is an impacting day that we get to pray for school teachers, leaders, workers, and students. Every child will be prayed for as they come through. Believe that God's going to move in our local schools in a mighty, mighty way. So thank you for being so faithful. And through that prayer line, many, many years ago, Heather Bailey. You don't know who Heather Bailey is. Most of you don't, but she used to be Bruce and Shirley's daughter. Now she's Heather Rogers, and she belongs to Paul instead of Bruce. And so there is such a heritage at Charleston Church. We're so grateful for it. And you see Heather behind that keyboard, and you don't see how she ministers really during the week, with people, visiting with people, calling people, reaching people in the hospital. You don't see her involvement in the staff and her input. And she's even getting a little bit, I think bossy is the wrong word. But she's even kind of pushing a little bit, which I like. I like to see that. Because God's given her great ideas. And sometimes we can become too familiar with people that have been around us a long time. There's a danger in that because we're all we got, and God's going to speak through us to each other. But when we get too familiar with each other, we don't necessarily hear God like we should. And that's what happened to Jesus. He went to his hometown, and the people were too familiar, and there weren't any miracles. So I don't want you to just see Heather as that Heather Bailey with the little glasses and curly hair. Honestly, and I say that, I'm saying it, this is a true lady of God, and we're blessed to have her and Paul as a part of our ministry. And I wish that you'd hear the word of the Lord and encourage Heather tonight. Let's hear from God as Heather preaches.
Thank you. Thank you. Pastor texted me on Tuesday or Wednesday, and Mariah was with me when I received the text. And he texted me, "Can you preach what you preach down the road at Faith School Sunday night at church?" And my reaction was, "Oh, my word." And Mariah thought something was wrong. She thought that something was wrong with Paul. It was a major tragedy. Nothing was wrong. I was just petrified at the thought of doing this. But how many know when you're asked to do something, you need to be obedient, even though it may not be your comfort zone? And I want to be obedient to the Lord, and anything that I can share, if that could encourage you, I want to share it. I want to be obedient. This is my third time preaching. Did once in Soulfire years ago. Dougie says he remembers that. I think it was probably so bad I told Paul never again. And then the second time I was watching the Faith School chapel service, just like a good staff member would. I wasn't there physically, but I wanted to see what was going on. And so Pastor basically announced that I was preaching, but he hadn't asked me yet. So he's like, "I have exciting news. Heather Rogers is," and he hadn't asked me yet. So I was like, "Oh, this is nice." So I can't say no. So I do have a little bit of payback. That I have for Pastor Ward and Darcy. I love to tease them about this. But Pastor and Darcy were my youth pastors back in the day. And Pastor Ward was actually our choir director. And he did a great job. He did a wonderful job. Are you laughing seriously hard at this picture? Okay, so as they did amazing things. Like, the things that they did with us were so out of the box. I don't know if you've heard of human videos, but that's something that's really huge. They did human videos with us before it was even invented, before there were fine arts competitions and stuff. We would act out the song "The Champion" by Carmen. How many remember that? And we would act it out on stage, and it was awesome. It was so cutting edge. We thought we were the coolest. So every Sunday night, the choir would sing, and look at how big that choir is. So he took us to a recording studio, I think in Brewer, and we recorded all these songs. Darcy denies it, but she helped us with our harmony parts. And there it is. We have such songs as "The Anchor Holds" by Ray Bolts. There's "Power in the Blood" soon and very soon. I don't know if there are any copies of these anywhere. Oh, Pastor has. Okay, I do want to add this. Pastor's level of excellence is very, very high, and that's always been in him. He wants things to be the best that they can be. And I can remember being in the van. We had picked up these box of cassette tapes, and we're listening to it on the way home, and he was very disappointed with the level of quality on these cassette tapes. Not us. We did great. But the quality level. So it was there that it was instilled in me. We need to have a high expectation. So let's give Pastor Ward and Darcy a hand. Yeah. So we recorded a CD. Okay. So just ask Pastor. He has a box of those maybe somewhere. Every day. Okay, the next thing, if you want to follow me back there, I just wanted to put up a picture of my kids, just because I'm a mom and I love my kids. So we have, they're all embarrassed. So we have Hannah, and she's going into seventh grade, and she just has a great, great love for people. And Nate, he has a sense of determination, and he's a great thinker. He likes to think things through. Zach is our entrepreneur. He's just very motivated to get things done. And Sammy, he brings a lot of joy to our house and a joy and happiness. So sometimes. Okay. All right. We good, Zach? We're good. Okay. Now to what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about fighting right. So if you want to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy 4:7. If not, you can look at the Sky Bible up at the screen behind me. It says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." So I'm going to read that again. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." It's so important for us to fight right and to keep fighting right. This was Paul, and he was near the end of his life, and he was writing to Timothy, and he was looking back on his life. And even though he didn't start off right, because we know that he was persecuting Christians, he had an encounter with Jesus, and that completely changed Paul. And he started fighting right, and in the end, he had no regrets. So my assignment tonight is to encourage you to keep fighting right, and many of you are, but I want you to keep on going. We need you. This church needs you. Your family needs you. And the way that you fight is going to have a great impact on others. So keep doing it. First, let's look at a few people who haven't fought right that we can think of. The first one is, anybody ever watched Looney Tunes? Yes. So there's Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Wile E. Coyote never fought right. He always had these crazy contraptions that never worked, that blew up in his face. Another example, and this is from the 90s, is Tonya Harding. Anybody remember that example? Yeah, so they were competitive Olympic figure skaters, and Nancy Kerrigan was doing really well. Tonya Harding didn't appreciate that, and so it was either her ex-husband or boyfriend struck her in the knee. and she was injured. So Tonya Harding never quite had that same reputation. She fought wrong. Here's another example, Mike Tyson versus Evander Holyfield. This was in 1997. Tyson bit off a piece of Holyfield's right ear in the late third round, but the fight was allowed to continue. With his appetite not satisfied, Tyson then bit Holyfield's left ear in the closing seconds of the round. The referee disqualified Tyson, who later had his boxing license suspended. More than a decade later, Holyfield has his own barbecue sauce called Real Deal Barbecue Sauce. And Tyson and Holyfield were tweeting back and forth. And Tyson tweets, "Holyfield's ear would have been much better with his new barbecue sauce." And Holyfield said back, "My Real Deal barbecue sauce will make you take a bite out of someone's ear. Ask Mike Tyson. Love you, bro." So now they can joke about it. Okay, let's also look at Ephesians 6, verses 12 through 18. Ephesians 6, verses 12 through 18. "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrow of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." The way that we fight has lasting consequences. They can be good and they can be bad. Who are we fighting against? Or what are we fighting against? Not who, but what are we fighting against? We're not fighting against our government, our relatives, our neighbor, our in-laws. I have great in-laws, by the way. Our spouse, our co-workers. No, we have an enemy, and we also have our flesh. We also have our own stinking thinking. Ultimately, Satan and spiritual forces of darkness that stand in opposition. When do we fight right? Always. We always fight right. Through our Christian walk here on earth, as a daughter, as a mom, as a spouse, wherever you're at, as a grandparent, you continue to fight right. We fight right as we go about our daily duties, in our conversations, in our thought life, at our workplace, in our homes, in our vehicles. Why do we fight right? Because it affects all of the lives around us. How we respond has a ripple effect. Sometimes we can underestimate that, but your life has great value, and it has great value to those around you. How you respond really, really matters. So how are you fighting your battles? Are you using God's weapons or the world's weapons? The world's weapons would be manipulation, slander, gossip, deceit. But those aren't the right weapons. There are many weapons God has given us, and I'll be talking about three of them tonight. There's more than three, but I'm just going to be focusing on these three. Number one, your praise is a weapon. Anthony can testify to this. He actually preached this sermon. I didn't know that. I didn't copy his notes. I didn't scoop up his notes and take them and apply them. But this was his point Thursday night on Elevate. Your praise is a weapon. Psalm 30:11. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. Praising is declaring his dominion over your situation. I'm going to say that again. Praise is declaring his dominion over your situation. You don't tell God about your problem as much as you show your problem how big God is. Let's turn to, and we do have more Bible reading, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 19. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 19. Let's talk about King Jehoshaphat. There's so much we can get from the Word of God. It's more than just stories, but it's things that we can apply to our life. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 19. They stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Go to verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there three days gathering the spoil because there was so much. This is an example of a time when a choir, like tonight, a choir defeated three large armies that had assembled to destroy them. As God's holy people shouted and praised, God threw the army into confusion and caused them to slaughter one another. So I want to ask you tonight, what needs to be slaughtered in your life? What is that thing that you kind of thought you dealt with, but it keeps on rising up? Again and again, your praise is a weapon. Your praise is a powerful weapon. And it's going to bring change in that situation and circumstance. Notice that they said in the beginning of that verse, with their voices loud and high. You need to open your mouth and praise out loud. Not in your head, but out loud. Okay, because there's strength in that, great strength in that. I'm not necessarily a loud person. I'm a little bit quiet. I do get angry. People ask me sometimes, do you ever get angry? Yes, I definitely get angry. Ask Paul and my children. I'm not loud, but I do know that there's power when I praise God out loud with my mouth. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. So we can use our praise to bring life to our battles. Use it to bring life to your family's battles. Use it to bring life to your friends' battles. The Lord fought the battle for them as they gave praise, and the reward was enormous. Now I have four kids. And my three boys, I love it when they give me praise. And I can think of Nate. He comes up near me and he'll just squeeze my arm. He'll be like, "Mom, I love you. you smell so nice. And I don't always smell so nice. And then he's getting older, and so I feel like he's practicing a little bit with giving compliments to the ladies. So he'll say stuff like, oh, Mom, you're so hot. And then touch me, oh, you know, so he's kind of practicing, getting ready with those punchlines, much like his dad, you know, did with me, you know. So he's getting ready, but I love it when they praise me and it just rolls out of them. When they just start to give me praise. I don't ask for it. It's unexpected. They just come up and give me praise. And let me tell you, God loves to hear your praise. It's good that you come in here and you sing along with the songs that we have on the screen, the songs that we have planned, but there's something so special when you lift up your voice to God and no one's around and you just begin to give him praise. He loves the sound of your voice. He loves the sound of your praise. And you can praise anytime, anything that you're doing. You can praise while you're driving to work. Some of my best praise and prayer times when I went to the University of Maine was the drive, going to school. That was when I would praise and worship God, and it kind of set me to get ready for the atmosphere of secular college. But it would help to prep me and to help me to get prepared for that environment. You can praise God while you're folding your laundry. There are six of us in our house, so our laundry is never ending. I do have lots of help from my mom, who comes and helps me with my laundry. But you can praise doing anything. I was in my office, and someone called me earlier this week, and it's a very sweet lady, and she said, I love to praise God while I'm mowing the lawn. She said, it takes me 2 hours to mow the lawn. And she said, these are the songs that I was singing to God. And I wrote them down. I meant to grab the paper so I could share them with you. These are the songs that I sing to God while I mow the lawn. And I've been singing these songs like a medley, like all these songs ever since I was 12 when the Lord saved me. These songs are really special to me. And she said, as I was mowing the lawn and singing these songs to God, I just started singing my own song to God. And she shared the lyrics with me, and I wrote them down. And she said, I just kept on singing that song over and over to God. And when I was done, the Lord told me to call you and to share this with you. So I asked her if I could not say her name, but share this tonight. God loves the sound of your praise. You're mowing the lawn, giving praise. He loves that sound. And maybe for some of you, it's been a little while. Maybe it's been a little while since you've just been alone, and it's you and God, and you've put everything else away, and you've given him praise. He loves the sound of your voice. So what does your praise look like? What does your praise sound like? If we look at Acts 16, verse 25, you can go there if you want. Praise will not only set you free, but it will set others around you free. Acts 16, 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, all of the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. The prayer and praise of Paul and Silas set them free, it set others free, and it brought salvation to the keeper of the prison and his whole household. So is your praise setting you free and those around you free? At the Bible College, I get to teach a class called Worship Leadership. And I encourage them, don't just sing a song, but send a song. So as you're up there leading worship, you have faith for that song for you, but also for everyone in the room. And you're also singing it and sending it for the community and those around you. So if we think of that song, I'm blessed, you know, maybe you don't feel like you're blessed in all those areas, but you're singing that and declaring that. My house is blessed. My family is blessed. I can't think of the words now. My city is blessed. And we're singing that for our community down the road, right? And we want to bless our community. We're declaring that and having faith that all the surrounding homes, that they'll be blessed of the Lord. They'll be saved, set free. But praise is only one weapon. The second weapon I want to talk to you about is putting the pressure on the word. Put the pressure on the word. Hebrews 14:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The greatest weapon we have in our fight is the word. The word can't be beaten, can't be shaken, and it won't come back void. What is that thing in your life that you want to break through in? Have you found scriptures in the word that you can stand on? Have you written them down? Do you know them by heart? One Sunday, I was in the altar praying with someone, and this was years ago, so don't worry, it's not you. But I was praying with someone in the altar, and I saw them, and it was like they were on a battlefield, and they had a sword in their hand, but they were just waving it over their head, like in a panic. And they didn't even know how to use it. They didn't even know what to do with it. So I asked the Lord, okay, why are you showing me this? And so then I began to pray for him that he would put on that full armor of God, that he would learn to use that sword that he had in his hands with purpose and with specific vision. And I'm glad to say today, even though we don't know who this man is, I won't say his name, he's winning. His family's winning. There's a great ripple effect because of that, because he started to fight right. When I was little, maybe around 10 years old, I had a hard time sleeping at night. And it might have been due to the fact that, how many of you used to watch Unsolved Mysteries? That was a big show back in the 90s. There was Unsolved Mysteries, and then there was also Rescue 911. Anybody remember those episodes? So me not being able to sleep at night might have been a little bit due to the fact that around bedtime, around 7 o'clock, that music for Unsolved Mysteries would come on. Anybody remember the theme music for that? It is really scary. You can YouTube it and listen to it. But for some reason, even though I had a relationship with the Lord and I came to church and I had a prayer life, I had a hard time sleeping at night. I just felt dirty and just a heaviness on my chest. Now, Pastor likes to joke around and say, "Where would Heather be without the Lord?" And he'll name some foolish names, and I don't know what to say because I'm standing there and I don't know how to react. So I didn't have, you know, horrible sin or any bad experience that had happened to me at age 10, but I remember that feeling that I had on my chest, and it was just like a heaviness. I think now maybe it was condemnation. I think I just felt a lot of condemnation at that age. And that's not from the Lord. So my parents really helped me. And they said, "Heather, as you lay there and you can't sleep, we want you to pray and we want you to quote the word of God." So because of Sunday school, because of my parents, I had some Bible verses learned. So I would quote those verses over and over and over again. I'd like to say it was just one night and I quoted some verses and then it was gone, but it took a couple weeks before it totally lifted and it was gone. And I can honestly say that feeling has never come back. So grateful for that. It works. Are you filled with fear and anxiety? You have a promise. 1 Peter 5:7, the word says, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Are you waiting for your prodigal son or daughter to come home? Proverbs 22:6 says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Have you ever experienced so great a loss that you don't know how you'll recover? Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Are loved ones around you hurting so bad that it's taking your breath away? Psalm 56:8, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Somewhere along the way, did you pick up some bitterness that's crept in your heart and you become a little bit cold? Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So how do we fight right? Praise is our weapon. We put the pressure on the Word of God. And my last point is we pray in the Spirit and we wait on the Lord. It's one thing to pray, and it's another thing to listen. So we need to make sure that we not only pray, but we wait and we listen for that response for what God says. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, 31. I couldn't find this saying that I heard once. I wish I could. That way I could verify it. But I heard that at Azusa Street, which is over 100 years ago, when the Holy Spirit moved there, they said that there was a prophecy given that 100 years from then, that there would be a generation that would sing to the God that they never prayed to. And that really stuck with me, really scared me, actually. That they would sing to a God that they never prayed to. So I tuck that in my heart, because as you know, music is a big part of what I like to do. And I remember that I never want to sing or do things like that more than prayer. That prayer is what really matters. How do we wait on the Lord? We pray in the Spirit and we tarry in His presence. I'll never forget the sound of when I was little. My parents brought me here to church on a weekday, and it was like 5:30 in the morning. And our church was just praying. I think it was maybe for a week straight. We met at 5:30 and we would pray in the morning. And I remember walking in the room. All these adults are kneeling down and praying. And the sound of prayers. Just the hum of voices and the hum of prayers. We need to remember how to tarry in His presence. Just as Pastor talked about, we have to be open. I have not always fought right, but I want to share with you a season in my life where I did fight right, and everyone around me fought right alongside with me. In 2015, my brother Jason, who some of you might know, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. Yeah, I have two brothers. Zach's shouting out David. So I have two brothers, David and Jason. And Jason was diagnosed with lung cancer. Things went from bad to worse. The doctors said it was in his lungs. And then they said it looked like it was in his lymph nodes. And it had gone to his heart. So I had a decision to make. Would I fight right and teach my children to fight right? Or would I just be passive and hope for the best? Everyone around was fighting right. My brother was, his family. We were speaking faith and standing on the word of God. Pastor and Darcy knew what was going on. Nate and Marianne were praying with us and believing for a miracle. Students at the school knew. So I decided that I was going to fast and pray. Now, I had done that before, maybe a meal here or a day here, but I had never really committed to it long term. But there was such an urgency to fast and pray that it wasn't really that hard. So what I would do is during lunch, I would go in the prayer room and I would pray. And at nighttime after my kids went to bed, I would kneel on the carpet and I would pray. I would pray and fast and I would put the pressure on the word of God. Waiting isn't always easy, but it's simple. When we do our part, build our faith and trust his word, he does a miracle. We just have to wait on him. This piece of paper is special, special piece of paper to me. This is something that Pastor Kelly had done with the kids and Kids on the Move. And on the front, it says, "By Jesus' stripes I am healed," 1 Peter 2:24. And then on the back, it has a lot of other verses that are about healing, God's promises for us. So every night, me and Zach and Nate, we would take these verses and we would insert my brother's name in here. And we would say, "You are the Lord who heals Jason. God restores health to Jason and heals Jason of his wounds. We are not afraid. Our God is with us. He will strengthen us and help us. You sent your word to heal Jason and rescue Jason from the grave. Jesus bore my sickness, he carried my pain, and by his wounds, Jason is healed." There's more verses there. But we would put the pressure on what the word of God says. That was kind of scary for me as a mom, because I can remember having the thought of, you're doing this with your children, and what if this doesn't happen? What kind of message are you going to send your children? So I had to say, no. Either I believe this or I don't. This isn't a game. This is the word of God. It's powerful. It's effective. This is what I was born for, right? I believe this. So we did it. And then every night after the kids went to bed, I want to show you what I would do. And since Pastor always drags someone up on stage, I'm going to ask for Isaiah Dyer to come up. Did you hear me, Isaiah? Okay. Isaiah, come on up. Now, I just want to say, this past Wednesday, we had 5 Soul Fire students preach, and they did an amazing job. And Isaiah was one. There was Isaiah and Lindsay, Mark, Mark, Hannah, and Matt Sawyer. They all did a great job. Okay, so every night, this is what I would do. After my kids went to bed, I would put on my garment of praise. This is an ugly blanket. Sorry, honestly, it probably should be washed. So if you can just put it around your shoulders.
Yeah, just like a cape.
There we go. I would just kind of walk around my kitchen, and I would give God praise. So you can walk around if you want. There we go. You got it? And I would say, I praise you, God. I worship you. You're the God that does miracles. You're the God that heals. I love you. There is nothing like you. There's nothing that compares to you. You are strong. You are mighty. You are the healer. And I would just praise. And then I would put the pressure on the word of God. And so then I would take those scriptures. You can put pressure on it.
Yep.
I would, go ahead, you can keep walking. I would put the pressure on the Word of God and those promises that I was standing on. And then I would kneel down. You're doing great, Isaiah. You're doing so good. And I would actually cover myself with this nasty old blanket. Because there's a lot of distractions in my house, even when the kids are all in bed. Okay, cover yourself completely and kneel on the floor in that nasty old blanket. Okay, kneel down. Prostrate before the Lord. Down. Yep. There you go. Okay, so I would kneel down and I would pray in the Spirit and I would wait until I felt a release. I would wait until God said, okay, you're done now. And I would actually pray and do what Ted Sr. had come, and while he was doing some ministry in the altar, he actually explained something to us. He stopped, and he taught us for a while, and I shared this with my dad. The cool thing was, my dad was actually in Georgia at the same time with my brother when things were very, very bad. And I shared with Dad, I said, Dad, he said, you bind that thing up in the name of Jesus, and then you cast it down, tell it never to return again, and to report to its master it failed in its mission. So that's what I would do. I would kneel down and I would say, in the name of Jesus Christ, the head of the church, you foul spirit of infirmity, I bind you. In the name of Jesus, I cast you down into the pit, never to return, and you must report to your master. You failed in your mission to take out my brother. And so I would do that. I would continue to do that. So it's important that you, are you comfortable there, Isaiah? Okay. Okay, you can come up. You've done a great job. Thank you for that illustration. Okay, so we praise, we put the pressure on the Word, we pray in the Spirit, and we wait for something to happen. Now, because I had done that, and it had been a lot of days, the Lord would show me things. And the first thing that he showed me was a vision of my brother laying his hands on people that were sick, and they were being healed. The next vision I had, it was my brother curled up in a ball. He was still on his feet, but he couldn't move. His arms were pinned, and he was kneeling down, but he was completely covered by an armor that was protecting him. And I know that that was all of our prayers and our faith, our shield of faith. And then all of a sudden, he burst out, and he had huge muscular arms, like really big. They were so muscular, it was unnecessary. It really was. It was like the cartoon Mighty Mouse. Anybody seen the cartoon Mighty Mouse? Where he has huge muscles? And then one night when my parents had left and they were flying down there, I couldn't sleep because I knew things were really bad. I just prayed in the Spirit all night long. And in the morning, I was walking down the stairs, and I wasn't really in prayer at that point, but I had been all night long. But just as Pastor said, we have to be open. We have to be open to what God's saying. And I could hear my brother preaching, and I could hear him saying, and he was giving his testimony about being healed. And he was declaring, and Jesus Christ still heals today. And I could hear the chuckle in his voice that only my brother Jason has, right? So I knew it was him. You got to understand why I saw these things. Things were getting worse. I was sitting in my kitchen, and I was trying to convince God to heal Jason. You know how sometimes you're at that point and it's like you're begging? And I was like, God, I just, and he said, You don't have to convince me. No one wants him healed more than I do. I actually love him more than you do. And I was, whoa, I love him. He's my brother. But that just hit me so strong. And then, like I said, things were worse. And God said, are you going to believe what man says? Or are you going to believe what I told you? And I said, I'm going to believe what you told me. Now, my parents went down to Georgia to be with my brother. And my dad, if you know him, he's very much like a, what would you say, like a realist. He likes to say things as they are. Okay, he'll just state them. He's kind of blunt to the fact, likes to, you know, say this is how it is. But when I had shared with him over the phone about what Ted Sr. said about power and authority and what we're to do, so he was sitting at the kitchen table. I wasn't there. His mom and dad were there with Jason and Shannon. And my dad did a Bible study because he's a teacher. And so he read a bunch of verses that talk about power and authority and what Jesus said to do. And then he said, now, Jason, I'm going to pray for you right now. And when he did, he prayed with power and authority. I wish I was there, but I wasn't. Mom said that the presence of God was so thick you could cut it with a knife. If anybody walked in, they probably would have thought he'd gone crazy. Because my brother likes to say it was a little bit like R.W. Shambach, like an evangelist that would do things like that. And then after he was done, my brother said to Dad, it's done. It's over. It's gone. Today, my brother is... Now, this took 2 months. It was a long time of waiting. But today, my brother is completely cancer-free. They scanned his whole body from top to bottom. No cancer in his body whatsoever. Now, what God showed me, he wants to speak to you about those things that you're fighting for. Whatever that is. And it doesn't have to be a healing for somebody. It might be something completely different. But I promise you that if you praise, if you put the pressure on the word, if you pray in the spirit and wait on the Lord, you're going to see something special happen. Praise is your weapon. Put the pressure on the word. Wait on the Lord. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head. And the musicians, and Mariah to come up. What's that thing that you're battling or fighting for? Do you know that there's no one that can fight right like you can? It's good for you to share your request with the staff and with us, and we want to pray for you. But there's no one that can fight for that thing like you. You have the passion for it. You have the desire for it. What are the things that you're still struggling with? You've been struggling with them for years, and it's time for it to be done. Fight right. There's no one else that can fight right for you. You have everything you need. Your prayers are powerful, and your prayers are effective. Now these altars are open, and I'm going to ask a favor. I want everyone that's physically able to come down to these altars tonight. And I want us to praise out loud with our voices loud and strong. I want us to put the pressure on the Word of God. I want us to pray in the Spirit and to wait on the Lord. Now, however you want to do that, if you want to stand and do that, that's good. If you want to kneel at these altars and do that, that's good. Pastor and Darcy, the staff, are going to pray with you, and we're going to agree with you for great things, but I want us to do that tonight. So let's all stand to our feet. And if you're able to, I want you to come right now. Don't hesitate. Come right down these altars. We're going to do this tonight, kind of like a practical application. You can kneel, you can stand. It's time for us to fight right. We need it. Your family needs it. The church needs it. Just right now, even though you might not even feel comfortable with this, maybe this is something so new for you, I want you to just begin to praise and open your mouth and start to pray out loud. Start to just give and praise. I know it's uncomfortable. Maybe you've never done this before. But He loves the sound of your praise. He loves the sound of your worship. It's a great sound to Him. Jesus, I praise You right now. I worship You. There's no one like You. You are mighty. You are strong. We worship You right now. We just declare Your power and Your dominion over this place. We know that You have great things in store. Hallelujah. We love You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we praise You. Now those verses that you stand on, I want you to just begin to say those out loud. Those verses that you know. Hallelujah, God, we trust in You, God, with all our heart. We lean not on our own understanding, but we acknowledge You and all our ways are going to direct our path. God, You promised in the last days You would pour out Your Spirit on all flesh, all sons, all daughters, that young men would have visions and old men would dream dreams. God, so we're waiting for that, God. We know that You have more in store. Hallelujah, we praise You, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, just press in with the Lord. I'm going to ask you to remain here. Even though it may not feel comfortable, I'm just going to ask you to remain here and keep on praying. Keep on praising. Keep on praying in the Spirit. Tarry in His presence and just wait. Just wait until you feel that release. Don't leave until you feel the Lord say, okay, okay, we're done. Just wait on the Lord. He can do more in one moment. In one moment, He can turn all things around in you. Hallelujah. We love You, God. So don't be far from me. I'm here waiting on You. Don't be far from me.